Hello, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA, and welcome to our 120th podcast, Betting on Notre Dame. Oh, yeah. This is October 7, 2021, and as a Notre Dame graduate, I have plenty to say on what's happened in South Bend this football season. So let's take a short break, and we'll come right back and start the show. Yeah, summer's screaming no, but we're going to play the beginning of the Notre Dame fight song. Oh, man, and we have to be critical. Hate to do it. Well, let's start with Brian Kelly. You know, he recently set the all-time number of wins at the University of Notre Dame in football at 106. But please, don't compare him to Knut Rockne, or as they say in Norwegian dialect, Knut Rockne. And the reason for that is Brian Kelly had 106 wins, but nobody ever mentions the number of losses. He's been there 12 years. Our good friend Knut Rockne, oh, Rockne, he had 105 wins, but only 12 losses. That's a big difference. But, you know, the thing about Brian Kelly is simply this. He's probably the most disliked successful coach there is. And there's a number of unpleasant things to say about that. But in his 12th year, should he have the drama that he has right now? Because he's about to make probably the most important decision that a successful head coach can make. And that is, from this point in the season, his record is 4-1. And, you know, let's talk about Clemson. They're 2-2. There's a lot of really iconic, successful programs with one loss. But he has a drama playing out that few coaches would want. And I ask you, once I explain the situation that he's in, what would you do if you were the head football coach at Notre Dame? And here are the details. Notre Dame welcomed Cincinnati, and Cincinnati was in the top 10, as was Notre Dame. In fact, Cincinnati was favored to win the game by a point or a quarter, a point and a half, some magical number. But, you know, really, it was a toss-up. And Cincinnati doesn't have the iconic football reputation that Notre Dame has, but they have been very good the last few years. The coach came into the Notre Dame Stadium with a 34-6 record, and he was impressive, and he had his team up, and he had them prepared. They also had a quarterback in his fourth year as a starter who had a lot of swagger, and he did a lot of trash talk during the week. But you know what? He lived up to it. Still not good, but he lived up to it. So Notre Dame found himself down 10 points on gifts. Notre Dame turned the ball over three times in the first 18 minutes of the game. And Cincinnati had one good drive, and at halftime, Cincinnati was up 17-0. And people were clamoring for Kelly to replace the starting quarterback, who is playing behind a very weak offensive line. Notre Dame last year had four linemen that went to the NFL, so they were not the same line. There were a lot of new faces and a lot of young faces. So Jack Cohn, who was really a fifth-year senior, a grad student that got an extra year because of the year of the pandemic, transferred to Notre Dame from Wisconsin because he wasn't going to be a starter any longer at Wisconsin, he was told. And so Brian Kelly embraced him with open arms because of his experience. He actually led Wisconsin to a Rose Bowl win in his time there. Well, you know, he had a sophomore quarterback with 4 years of eligibility and a freshman quarterback with 4 years of eligibility behind him, and he just didn't want to deal with them, let's face it, and so he's going to go with Jack Cohn. And in the first opening game against Florida State, Jack Cohn looked very impressive. But the offensive line is weak, and Jack Cohn has little mobility. Not that he doesn't have athleticism, he just doesn't use it. He tends to stay in the pocket too long, and he gets blitzed and dropped quite often for losses. And he drives the Notre Dame team down to inside the 10-yard line and throws a senseless interception. Senseless. And things didn't go well from there. So in the second half, Change of quarterbacks gave the Irish a stronger sense of offense, and they outscored Cincinnati 13-7 in the second half. But they were just too far behind, and they lost 24-13. So Cincinnati came to Notre Dame and stopped their 26-game home winning streak. The Irish missed an extra point and a plus 50-yard field goal, but Cincinnati missed two field goals too. So starting quarterback Jack Cohn was pulled at halftime. As I mentioned, many critics felt it should have been a lot sooner. So now the question is, who will start at quarterback? The Irish have two reserve quarterbacks with three or more years of eligibility, and both of them have much more mobility than the transfer from Wisconsin, Jack Cohn. Jack Cohn also has a very calm demeanor, which, you know, probably there have been certain years at Notre Dame where that demeanor would have been a positive thing. But this is a team that seems to need energy and fight, and they need sort of a rah-rah type in the backfield. And this is a coach talking. I was a successful high school basketball coach and an assistant football coach, and I won a state championship. So, hey, you know, like I know more than anybody else. But that's not the point. A lot of people say the wins have kind of gone out of the cells at Notre Dame, losing to Cincinnati, a game they expected to win, and they need someone to put those wins back in. And Drew Pine, the sophomore, let me tell you about his high school experiences. But before he got to high school, after his eighth grade season, the University of Alabama, that's Coach Nick Saban, offered him a full football scholarship. Now, Drew Pine's father is 6'5", and they probably felt that Drew was going to be in the 6'2", 6'3" range. Well, he stopped growing at 5'11", which he was probably 5'11" in eighth grade. But nonetheless, he was offered a scholarship to Alabama. And Tyler Buckner, the freshman quarterback, was also offered, he's from California, was also offered a scholarship to Alabama. So, hey, what are we going to do here? We got some kids that are going to be at Notre Dame for a few years, we hope. Should we just keep losing with Cohn, a fifth-year senior transfer? Or grad transfer, I should say? Or should we, you know, losing with Cohn would be a disaster when you think you have these two talented quarterbacks behind. So that's part of the decision. And you have on the Notre Dame Football Network, the NBC gift that they get, right? They have as a color man, Drew Brees. And Drew Brees, when he looks at Drew Pine, sees himself because Drew Pine's 5'11", Drew Brees is under 6 feet. And Drew Brees is an iconic New Orleans Saints quarterback, now retired, who won a Super Bowl, led his team to a Super Bowl win. So, fans of Notre Dame, when Drew Pine starts against Virginia Tech, Drew Brees might see himself in the field, but it's not going to be Drew Brees. Drew Pine is a talented young athlete, but he's not perfect, but he does have more mobility, much more mobility, and he can run the run-pass option, which Cohn can't because he's just too slow a foot. But there's ramifications to this decision, because if he does start Drew Pine against Virginia Tech, and Kelly said he would not announce that until later, maybe game day, what happens if he goes out there and fizzles, right? Can Cohn come back in? He got moved aside in Wisconsin and he transferred. What's his temperament? Because he is one of those kind of people who kind of sulks on the sideline when he's not doing well. And he doesn't seem to come back, you know. He's not a gunslinger where he can throw an interception and, hey, come back and throw the next pass for a touchdown. And he's kind of looking right now with his head down too much because he senses that sack coming, right, because the offensive line isn't blocking that well for him. And that's kind of like taking him out of his game, drop back passer, relax, find an open player, throw the ball. He doesn't have that kind of time anymore. And so it's about mobility, you know, where the other two are more like a Russell Wilson, where he can escape and pass and throw it down the field. That's Drew Pine. That's Tyler Buckner. Tyler Buckner is also lightning quick. He can run the ball. Drew Pine is athletic, and he's much faster than Jack Cohn. So what's going to happen when you have Drew Brees in the booth calling the game as a color man and saying he has to start Drew Pine in the next game? What will Kelly do? Is his ego going to be in a way? Because I do think it's a tough decision to make, but I do think he has to start somebody with more energy. The Irish need a new flow of energy to go down to Virginia Tech and win the game. It's a night game, and it'd be a sold-out game with people going berserk. And I think they respond to Drupon much more than they respond to Jack Cohn. So that's the situation we're in. It's not pretty. The Irish at this point in the week are still favored to win by a point. So in a sense, it's another toss-up. Virginia Tech is no pushover, that's for sure. And Notre Dame has struggled offensively the last few weeks with Jack Cohn at quarterback. Their defense is the strong part of the game. And if they can hold Virginia Tech to, you know, under 20 points, under 21 points, can Notre Dame score enough points to win? That's the question that we're asking. And what happens to Jack Cohn? Is Drew Pine going to be backed up by a freshman, Tyler Buckner, who, because of the pandemic, you know, California didn't even play. He didn't even play a senior year of high school. So there's a lot of questions here. And, you know, most football people are saying it's time for a change at quarterback, but there are some are saying, no, play it safe and win or lose with Cohn. So that's a decision that Notre Dame has to make. Would you bet on Notre Dame? Would you bet on Notre Dame? Yeah, you know what? I'm going to reluctantly bet on the Fighting Irish again. I lost a parlay bet. I had picked Notre Dame to win over Cincinnati. And I picked the two-team parlay. It was Ohio State over Rutgers. They did their job and won that game easily. Come on, Irish. Let's go here. All right. So that's the big decision to make. All right. And if you're a sports bettor and you're betting college football, are you going to stay away from Notre Dame? Or are you going to still bet with them? And also, do you want Drew Pine to be the starter? Tyler Buckner is just not enough experience. We want him to play, but we don't want him to start. Or do you want to go with Jack Cohn, who seems to have some issues between the ears right now, you know, in terms of fight, in terms of resilience? So that's the big decision to make. Notre Dame kind of beat Notre Dame. No problem saying that, even though Cincinnati deserves a lot of credit. But Notre Dame did not play up to their standard against Cincinnati. And they played with not the energy that was necessary, particularly on offense. And in the modern game of football, if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to have a great team. I mean, maybe that's the trouble with football. It's too much about the quarterback. Now, obviously, you need special teams. You need kickers. You know, you need a defense. But when it comes to offensive football, you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a team. Come on, Notre Dame. Let's go Irish. Get it fixed. Okay, we're going to be talking craps here, so let's go through our usual craps opening.
3, 2, 1.
All right, well, there's Craps Across America, right? Which was the title of my first book. But hey, people are playing Craps Across America. And people, you know, millennials, Gen Xers, boomers. I mean, it's still a very popular game. And there's always one or two or even more tables in casinos. But some tables, you know, have been limited to just one at a time. And particularly in the smaller casinos. And so I got a call from a good friend who was at a bachelor's party at Rocky Gap Casino Resort. It's a beautiful setting. He said, initially, you know, he agreed it was a very beautiful place and, you know, in the mountains of Western Maryland and beautiful lake, and it's just gorgeous. But he said, there's a lot of older people there, people like me. And, you know, he talked about it. So he was disappointed that the sports bar there closed before midnight. He couldn't believe that. And tables in a casino closed at 2 a.m. That upset everybody. And this group also said the restaurant, they couldn't handle a table of 18, you know, the bachelor, so for the bachelor party. And, well, that was too bad. But he did say there was something very unusual that happened, and that's what I'm going to talk about with craps. You know, people say never make these bets. They're sucker bets. And this sucker bet's getting very popular. There's three squares in front of the box man, and one has all small, That's numbers 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. One has all tall, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And one in the middle says make them all. The all tall and all small boxes pay generally 34 to 35 to 1. And the one in the middle, where you make both sides, you know, you make the all small and the all tall, that pays 174, 175. I've seen it even 176 to 1. You know, it's one hell of a sucker bet. But man, put $15 on it, like some dude did down at Rocky Gap, and also cover the all small and all tall bets, and this is what happened. And this is from an eyewitness. But it's $2,460, okay, on that bet. $2,460. Yeah, I know that's unusual, but it even gets more unusual. So the table was limited to six, and my friend was sitting at a video poker bar, right, you know, that couldn't be more than 7 feet from the table. I sit there, too, when there's no room. And he said, damn, the thing gets hot, and I'm not playing. You know what I mean? So it goes around again. There's only six people. And the same guy does the same thing. And the gentleman that bet the $15 bets the $15 again, and nobody else joined him. And the guy makes the all small, the all tall. And, of course, that means he makes them all. So the better won another $2,460, so several thousand dollars won. Get that, several thousand times two. Sucker bet no more on two $15 bets. Come on. And people say, it's a sucker bet. Ask this dude. Ask this dude. And if you don't make that bet, you're at the table when people are rolling numbers, so you're still winning money. But you're not going to walk away with close to $5,000, you know, probably. So, you know, it does pay to make those kind of bets. And I just said in the short term, anything can happen. You know, throw $3 across, dollar, dollar, dollar. What the hell? I mean, you never know, man. I've seen these made so many times. And I've been on them, too. And sometimes I haven't been on them, and that really makes me mad. Like, you know, I was preoccupied with something else, and I didn't put the money out there. So I think it's a fun bet, and it's a fun thing to add to a craps table. All small, all tall, then that, you know, if you do both, you make them all. So there's three squares, and that's how to do it. Now, the young man who called me didn't say if the shooter was setting dice, whatever. I'm sorry, but he was just taken away by the success, you know, of this rather high odds bet, 175 to 1 by that, and that made all the difference. And I don't know if you go to a big casino with, you know, 2,500 slots and three or four craps tables, or if you go generally in your area to a smaller casino and the craps table may be open, may not be open. And Rocky Gap still playing with like pandemic kind of things going on, and they only have six people at a craps table, so it's like half a table. You know, it's just, it's too bad. And so, you know, it's happened to me so many times since the pandemic, you know, since the casino is open. I go to Rocky Gap, I want to play craps, the table's filled. So I end up playing at that video poker bar until there's an opening, you know, and then try to get over there before somebody else does. And they limited the seating at the other table games to four. I mean, come on. So, you know, it's partial due to the pandemic, and it's also, our next topic today is short staffing is starting to affect customer service, quality, you know, in so many businesses. But it's so irritating when you're going to a casino and you run smack into it, where there's not enough bartenders, there's not enough waitresses. Sometimes a particular restaurant's only open a couple days a week because they can't staff it. You know, a lot of the things that made a place attractive is no longer attractive. It's starting to get to you, and it's starting to get to me. And you know, if you want to rant about that, or if you want to talk about other long shot craps bets that it was reported to you or you saw with your own eyes somebody win, I'd love to hear that. And if you want to talk Notre Dame football and what's wrong and what quarterback you'd pick and Brian Kelly, give us a call. We have an answering service. It's 1-724-519-4556. You know, so a trip report, a gambling or travel question. If you have a lot of casino capers, we'd love to hear it. So don't hesitate. just use your first name and, you know, the city or state you're calling from. That's all. So we'll do our best to give you 5 minutes to rant and rave and make your point and play it on the air. Okay, let's go to our final segment today. And it's called Flat Out Short Staffing. A little island music, and we'll be right back. I've been like pumped up about a couple things. The year before this year in sports betting and football, I had 21 straight wins, and the first weekend was a disaster for me. The second weekend, I won my 4 bets. You know, I don't think the amount of money I put in is important. You know, it's just the thrill of betting, whether it's, you know, $5 or $500. But you know, I have a budget. I don't want to spend more than $200 a weekend. That's for sure. You know, you're not going to win every bet, but you're not going to lose them all either, generally speaking. But it can happen, believe me. And so if you want to get Casino USA's picks, just join our Facebook group. And then before Saturday game time, we'll put on the college one. Sometimes we'll put on the Sunday games, the NFL games as well. So the Facebook group is called Casinos USA. Answer the membership questions in the affirmative. Basically, you're promising that you're not going to advertise Bitcoin or advertise anything without permission, you know. It's going to be about the topic of the group, you know, it's casinos and your experiences there, et cetera, and travel tips, you know, and we'd love to have that. And a lot of people do post there, and it's really good. And it's a very fresh site because, I mean, we're adding to it every day, so don't hesitate. But that's where you're going to see our sports picks, unless there's something incredible that we do, and then we'll put it on here, you know. So we lost a Raider game against the Chargers because the Raiders didn't want to even start playing until the second half. And goodness, they came back. They were down 21-0, just terrible play. And the second half, they dominated the third quarter. It was close to 21-14. And then in the fourth quarter, they're going to kick a field goal to make it 21-17. They miss an easy chip shot field goal. And when you know it, that gives the Chargers momentum. And they go down and score the final touchdown, and that's how it ends, 28-14. Oh, my goodness. So, a lot of sad things to talk about there. And I didn't put a lot of money on that game because I was really fearful that the Chargers were the better team. But, you know, it was emotional because I was at the Monday night game with Janie. We were in Las Vegas and Jerry and Elaine. And, you know, so I even got a Raider Nation shirt, you know, a Raider Nation T-shirt. So, come on, man. I had to go and bet the Raiders. But I was fearful when I did it and, you know, what. My fears were right. They were valid. Well, what's this short staffing thing? Well, I want to tell you how bad it is with casinos right now. In terms of security, they're still there. So I feel pretty good about that. You know, I check that and say, man, are they staffing security in these places? I mean, because if they take away security, wow, you know, everybody's vulnerable. Housekeeping, the people are doing what they can, but early check-ins are hard to get. Rooms aren't ready. Sometimes rooms aren't even ready at 4 o'clock, you know, when you don't even have an early check-in. And I'm talking up and down the strip and Fremont Street. But almost every casino, I must have a lot of time on my hands, but you try to call the front desk or some department, you're put on hold for 30 to 40 minutes. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know? You just say, like, well, you had something about the front desk, and, you know, what the hell? Now I got to get down myself and get in line and get service because nobody picks up the damn phone, you know? So, short staffing. And, you know, what's going to happen is starting to happen in Vegas. It's probably happening in other businesses where you are and where I am. So, the people running the business, the management, they're starting to see that having short staffed doesn't change the bottom line. People are still coming. People are spending their money. People are still, like, putting up with it. So unless there's a customer revolt, I think a lot of these places aren't going to call everybody back. You know? And then the thing you hear always is, well, it's a supply chain. We can't get this. We can't get that. You know? And it may be true in some cases, but it's not true in every case. It's like an excuse. So the stimulus checks are done, right? The eviction protection is gone. Let's get back to work, all right? Let's get back to work. There's dignity in work. Let's get back to work. And it could be that, you know, you decide, what the hell? I'm not going to take these trips because I just get aggravated. I get aggravated. YouTube crazy. There's people that are pretty good at what they do in YouTube. And I got to tell you again about Fremont Street. I went to Fremont Street. I always go to Fremont Street when we go out and usually take coupons and, you know, get match play coupons and free play coupons and go up and down and have a good time. But we went when it was 105 degrees and it just didn't work. You know, we took the loop bus from the Strat and got to see the downtown pretty well, but it's Fremont Street is it's a place that after you go there, you feel like you have to take a shower. And I don't want to hear about how great it is. You know, I don't go to Vegas to get drunk. I'm past that age, you know. My friends are past that age, right? I mean, getting smashed is a sign of a jackass, you know what I mean? So, and driving and bothering people when you're like that, putting other people's lives at risk, putting your own life at risk. I don't want drunks at my table when I'm playing craps or any other game. I don't want drunks beside me at video poker. You know, if you can't handle it, don't drink, you know. Now, I know the millennials in their early 20s, they're going to go there to party. And, you know, that's fine. But don't put your life in jeopardy, you know. We don't want to step over 22-year-olds flat out, male or female, on sidewalks. And that can happen there, believe me. You're going to say you're short-staffing. They're short-staffed. They can't get to it. But we went into the El Cortez, and I know there's a lot of big money won at the El Cortez. And I like to be one of those people. But, you know, it was like run by zombies, man. It was like nobody even would at the Players Club trying to cash in coupons. You know, guys on a phone just didn't pay attention to us. It's like, what the hell? There's a line of nine people. This is the middle of a, you know, an afternoon. Get out of here. Get off your butt and do some work. At least say, excuse me, I'll be right with you, whatever. It's disgusting. And some of the restaurants where we, you know, tried in Fremont Street that were decent, they're not as clean as they should be. You know, come on. So I'm down on Fremont Street right now. I don't care if there's a new casino there. It's too bad it's not somewhere else because it's only going to be a distraction. And that's how I feel. And then Resorts World, you know, Resorts World on the Strip, on the northern end of the Strip, how about getting the things fixed? I mean, there's people spending unbelievable amounts of money to stay there, and then all they do is complain about how bad it is. And the same thing, nobody will answer a phone, nobody will solve a problem that you have. So yeah, there's a lot of, it's a beautiful place, and there's a lot of wonderful things about it. But it's about time to get the kinks out of the problems, out of the engine, you know? It's been road tested, let's get it fixed. Come on. Short staffing is where you start and where it ends, I don't know. I was impressed with the new Strat, the Stratosphere. Stratosphere Casino, I didn't see any rooms there. But I was very impressed with the area around the Strat. They cleaned it up. And also the casino. The casino is very sharp, very sharp. So give that a look. I was impressed that Harrah's still has their entertainment. They're not letting the pandemic stop them. But the only $5 table that we saw when we were there was at Ellis Island. And Ellis Island is just packed. And this is weeknights. It's packed. I know it's locals, but you know what? The secret's out on Ellis Island. There's been so many YouTube videos. And they just do a great business there. And then, you know, it's the best food for the money, I think, in Las Vegas. And things are clean there. They keep things clean there. So I got my chance to rant and rave a little bit. But, you know, I don't know how you feel, but is Vegas like it used to be? No, it's not. It's not. Is it going to get back to the way it was? Only if customers finally just say, I had enough. I had enough. And clean up this place. And I want customer service when I come in here. Or you know what? I'm not coming. So, all right. despite all these issues, Casinos USA is still that place where every day is Saturday. Thanks for listening. See you in a couple weeks. So long.